Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sound of Arizona. Thanks for joining us on this great Thanksgiving weekend. Here's an article that appeared in today's Arizona Republic, Houseplants Can Help Lessen the Winter Blues, by Chris McCown. With daylight getting shorter as winter approaches, many people are starting to feel the winter blues coming. Thankfully, for most, this is temporary as holiday celebrations keep our minds occupied through the end of the year. If you sometimes find yourself feeling a little down in the winter months, I have a recommendation for you. Adding some plants to your living spaces can help with seasonal depression. Plants can help by providing a connection to nature, reducing stress, anxiety, and improving indoor air quality. Studies have shown that interacting with plants can lead to lower levels of stress, a decrease in pulse rate, and have positive and calming effects on mood. Plants can boost mood and creativity. In addition to the mental health benefits, having plants indoors can help improve your physical health. Plants naturally purify the air. They absorb toxins like formaldehyde, benzene, and ammonia from the air, improving overall air quality. Plants also increase oxygen levels. This is simple as they take in carbon dioxide and release oxygen. As you look for houseplants for your home, there are many from which to choose. I asked Blumen's greenhouse manager, Maria Furman, for her houseplant recommendations. Monstera Delicosa. Monstera Delicosa is a beloved houseplant and a personal favorite. This lush plant can grow to a substantial size if trained to grow upwards on a moss pole, but can also be kept more compact by pruning off growth. When you do, you can place the cuttings in water until they root to propagate. The cuttings look lovely in a pretty vase. The large upper leaves will develop fenestrations to support the growth on the lower part of the plant, allowing more light to reach the lower leaves, creating that trademark Swiss cheese look. Pothos. Pothos is easy to care for, adaptable in bright or low-light environments, and a great plant for beginners and houseplant connoisseurs alike. The heart-shaped leaves can be found in marbled hues of gold, ivory, and jade to a saturated chartreuse or muted silvery blue. Pothos can cascade and spill from pots or grow upwards on a support to defy gravity and create a lush indoor paradise. These fast-growing vines can be pruned back for a bushier look, and the cuttings can be propagated in water to create more pothos plants. Rubber plants. Rubber plants deserve recognition for their beauty and functionality. Rubber plants have broad, waxy leaves that are effective in purifying the air from toxins and absorbing bacteria and mold spores. Rubber plants are happiest in east or south-facing windows where they can receive ample, bright, indirect light. Rubber plants stand out with attractive colored foliage splashed in shades of rose, cream, and green, or captivating hues of burgundy, aubergine, or midnight. Jade plants. Jade plants may eventually feel like a member of your family because of their long lifespan. They can be passed down through generations. Jade is a no-fuss succulent requiring nothing more than bright, indirect light and a nice big drink once or twice a month. Keep your jade happy, and its sturdy branches can reach up to 3 to 6 feet in height over time. In feng shui principles, jade plants are believed to attract wealth, prosperity, and promote positive energy flow. The thick, glossy leaves can be pruned off, and you guessed it, propagated easily in soil. Here's another holiday-themed article from the Arizona Republic. Get inspired by these tree decoration trends, by Kirby Adams. With the holiday season upon us, you may already be thinking about decorating. But before you pull out the plastic bins of last year's tinsel and aged ornaments, consider giving your holiday decor a refresh. The home decor experts at Diggs Home and Garden in Louisville, Kentucky, tell the Courier-Journal this year's trends include maximalism, whimsy, traditional styles with updated colors like red, gold, and burgundy, plus natural, sustainable themes that bring the outdoors indoors for the holidays. There are so many beautiful and festive options if you're willing to step outside the traditional red and green color scheme, said Deb Wolfolk, the store's manager. We're hoping these ideas will give everyone something to punch up their holiday season on their tree and around the house. So, are you ready to deck the halls? Check out these Christmas decorations ideas to keep your home merry and bright while elevating your holiday spirit. Maximalism 2025 Trend. Last year's minimalism trend has dimmed like a faulty old strand of tree lights. Instead, designers are embracing a more-is-more philosophy with lots of ornaments, lights, tinsel, garland, feathers, bows, and floral clusters or picks to fill any sparse areas and add a lush, full appearance. Don't be afraid to use bold colors or mix-and-match ornaments for an eclectic look, said Woolfolk. Using colors traditionally reserved for the Thanksgiving holiday, Diggs Home and Garden Designers creating an example of a bold holiday tree brimming with accents in gold, burgundy, and pumpkin orange. To add volume and dazzle, this tree glimmers with an assortment of soft white lights, richly textured velvet bows, a variety of glass and hand-painted ornaments, and deep red persimmon fruit-shaped picks and sprays of glossy golden leaves. All that glitters is gold. Sophisticated, dramatic, and deeply festive, holiday trees drenched in gold-colored ornaments, garland, bows, and accessories are having a moment this holiday season. Taking over a past trend favoring silver accents, gold is an energetic color that creates an opulent look when paired with the dark green of your tree. It is a very elegant tree, said Woolfolk. Gold is back in a big way, and we've used gold magnolia leaves, gold pine cones, gold garland, bows, and ornaments. Together, it makes a tree that truly sparkles. To keep your tree from appearing overly cluttered, opt for a variety of gold ornaments in different sizes, textures, and finishes, such as glossy, brushed, or hammered. And to further create visual variety and interest, keep in mind that gold pairs well with many colors, including red and burgundy, for an updated look. Brilliant and whimsical designs. The holidays are all about color, but plain red and green can feel a little uninspired. To make a Christmas tree truly pop, designers turn to saturated colors like magenta, lime green, canary yellow, candy apple red, and sapphire blue. Spunky plaid bows paired with shiny, oversized red pom-pom sprays and glittery curly stems can be intertwined with playful ornaments such as lollipops, macaroons, candy canes, or a pinkish lavender poodle to enhance the whimsical feel of a tree's decor. A tree like this can really be a lot of fun, and here's a pro tip when decorating your tree, said Woolfolk. Start with your lights. Then add bows and garland before placing your ornaments for the final touch. With ornaments, work from the bottom up. Additionally, consider carrying one tone throughout a space. A ribbon on the tree, echoed in table linens, or a wrapped gift or two creates a cohesive feel. Natural and organic touches. Creating a sense of warmth and calm, organic decorations can add serenity to a stressful time of year. This trend focuses on earthy tones and organic shapes by bringing the outdoors inside with natural elements like wood, felt, feathers, and pine cones. For the do-it-yourself enthusiast, thinly slice oranges or lemons and bake them at a low temperature until dehydrated, then string them together with twine or ribbon to hang. Other natural ideas include tying bundles of cinnamon sticks together with twine for a fragrant decoration and using small wooden ornaments, wood slices, or a wooden star topper to add a rustic charm. This year's trend of using gold accents shouldn't be overlooked when decorating a natural tree, but rather than a shiny or glossy finish, choose brushed, hammered, or matte accents. Traditional blue and white with a twist. You'll create a stunning tree with a truly fresh approach and extra pop when you layer loads of yellow into a traditional blue and white theme. Start with warm white LED lights, followed by weaving wide and then narrower blue and white ribbons or garlands deep within the branches, moving in a zigzag pattern. Next, create depth and fullness by placing your largest blue and white ornaments deeper within the tree canopy. Your unique or showstopper ornaments should be hung toward the tips of the branches. The wow factor, transforming the traditional blue and white themed tree into a showstopper, is the addition of yellow and gold accents. As with each of the trees created by Diggs Home and Garden, the blue, white, and yellow Christmas theme is made more captivating by creating texture, depth, and wonder. Fluff the branches, then layer your lights, garland, and ornaments to create a full, multi-dimensional look, said Woolfolk. As you decorate, regularly take a few steps back to ensure the colors and sizes are balanced and evenly distributed across the tree. And don't forget your tree topper. Here's an article that appeared in the December-January issue of Phoenix Home and Garden magazine, Going with the Flow. In North Scottsdale, landscape designer Peggy De La Garza uses a holistic approach for a landscape refresh by Nora Burba Trulson. Landscape designer Peggy De La Garza has a tried and true arsenal of landscape materials and techniques that she favors, ranging from using craggy boulders and native desert plants to contouring and creating drainage paths. But when it comes to the actual design, this intensely busy and list-making creative goes all zen. I walk onto a property and get an idea of what I need to do, De La Garza says. I just follow that, and it works. Dan Becker appreciates De La Garza's instinctive approach. She had designed the landscape for his previous home at Desert Highlands, and when he purchased another property in that golf course community, he knew the landscape designer could work her magic there as well. The home I bought was a 1980s Southwest style on the golf course, explains Dan, a Midwesterner who spends winters in Scottsdale. The house had been remodeled, but there wasn't much landscaping. I trusted Peggy because she gets things done and is very creative. The only thing I told her was that I wanted color in the landscape. De La Garza, a Phoenix Home and Garden master of the Southwest, walked the site and instantly realized that there were drainage issues. This property is basically in a hole, she explains. It sits lower than the street and in back lower than the golf course. I could also see that there weren't enough plants to stop erosion. In the front and backyard, the landscape designer carved out a series of natural-looking drainage washes, or arroyos as she calls them, that carry rainwater away from the house into a series of culverts and below-grade pipes. Contouring and carefully placed boulder massings also added character to the previously unremarkable landscape. Her design approach, De La Garza notes, is to view the landscape, particularly the plantings, three-dimensionally. Things have to flow, she says. I don't clump things together so they look good from the street. You must look at it from every angle. Working with an existing gnarled ironwood and several other trees in the front yard, De La Garza filled in the landscape with desert favorites that she knew would thrive at Desert Highlands' cooler high elevation, which is prone to frost. She chose Engelmann's prickly pear, golden barrel cactus, Argentine giants, saguaros, and blue cardon cactus interspersed with dwarf olives, agaves, desert spoon, and yucca rostrata. Closer to the house, De La Garza added color and form with small palms, tachoma stands, and coral fountain shrubs. Another design bugaboo she tackled was softening a lengthy retaining wall that snaked from the entry drive back to the garage. It was just a long plain wall, she remembers. We espaliered pyracantha along the wall to add greenery and texture. In the fall, they produced beautiful red berries. In the backyard, the landscape designer worked with the existing patio, pool, and cantilevered fire pit, filling in the hardscape with lusher, colorful plantings, including bougainvillea, fountain grass, liriope, and purple skyflower, using Mexican spoon as a sculptural contrast. We didn't place trees back here, said De La Garza, and we kept the plantings low so we could maintain views of the golf course and Pinnacle Peak. The completed landscape has had a few seasons to mature, become lusher, and complement the house. This is a classic desert landscape, says De La Garza, who has been creating gardens at Desert Highlands and other North Scottsdale sites for more than four decades. With the right maintenance and maybe a few additions or replacements, it should look just as good years from now. In the meantime, the homeowner is enjoying the fruits of De La Garza's labors. In the spring, the landscape pops with color, Dan says. It's just beautiful. In the evening, I like to sit out on the back patio where the greenery extends out of the golf course and watch the sunset turn everything red and gold. Here's another article from the December-January issue of Phoenix Home and Garden magazine, Clean Shade, Desert Tough, Meet the New Seedless Chilean Mesquite. If you've ever admired the feathery canopy of a mesquite tree but dreaded its thorns or messy seed pods, good news, there's a better option on the horizon. The Savano Seedless Chilean Mesquite is a new variety developed by Savano Nursery that promises all the beauty and shade of a traditional mesquite with none of the drawbacks. There's no other thornless and seedless Chilean mesquite on the market, said Stephanie Vickers, Savano Nursery's sales manager, social media, and marketing director. Chilean mesquites are one of the most popular trees used in urban landscapes thanks to their vigor and low water requirements. However, seed pods can become a nuisance in urban landscapes and require constant cleanup. The thorns can also be problematic for outdoor urban spaces such as parks and schools. The Savanna Seedless solves both problems in one tidy, desert-hardy package. Growing to about 25 to 30 feet tall and wide, it's an ideal shade tree for sunny backyards, courtyards, or open public spaces. Its growth rate is moderate compared to the generic Chilean mesquite, which grows quickly, and while it may produce a few spring catkins, the elongated yellow fuzzy flower whose pollen can cause an allergic reaction typical of generic Chilean mesquites, it's actually free of pods and allergens. Vickers notes that proper planting and care make a big difference. With any mesquite, give them room to grow, she advises. Desert trees develop horizontal roots to help absorb water and anchor themselves. With the right watering, good pruning from a certified arborist, and enough space, this can be an amazing tree. Savanna developed the variety through years of observation and testing in Arizona's extreme climate, not in a lab. I like to joke that we have a crazy scientist in the back conjuring up new plants, but it's really about patience and watching how each one performs, Vickers says. We'll watch trees for up to 10 years before we have a winner. Each tree is grown from cuttings, ensuring it is a true-to-type clone rather than an unpredictable seed-grown plant. It's part of the Savanna Originals lineup of more than 20 patented and patent-pending desert-adapted selections developed to make Arizona landscapes more sustainable and beautiful. Clean, reliable, and allergy-friendly, this might just be the desert shade tree we've all been waiting for. Now here are some plant facts about the Chilean mesquite. This tree is grows 25 to 30 feet high by 25 to 30 feet wide. No blooms, water needs low once established. It grows well in zones 8 to 11, attracts birds and wildlife, grows in all types of soil, light needs full sun, and Chilean mesquite maintenance, none once established. Also from Phoenix Home and Garden magazine, Garden Solutions, in each issue, Noelle, a.k.a. Plant Lady, AZ Plant Lady, writes a letter to the readers. And she writes this issue, "Hello, friends. As the days grow shorter and the chill of winter settles in, our desert gardens take on a quieter kind of beauty. With summer and fall, bursts of color fade. It's a time when many plants rest, roots strengthen, and some flora put on a display of color, bringing welcome vibrancy to the landscape when we need it most. Let's explore how to keep your garden beautiful and thriving through the cooler months. You'll learn about my favorite winter blooming shrubs that not only add rich color, but also attract hummingbirds seeking nectar this time of year. I'm also sharing how to extend the holiday spirit by growing amaryllis bulbs outdoors for years of spring blooms, plus simple tips for watering wisely during winter's cooler days. With a few thoughtful plant selection choices, your desert garden can stay colorful and beautiful all season long, filled with flowers, visiting hummingbirds, and the promise of spring ahead." That's from Noelle, a.k.a. AZ Plant Lady. And you can send your gardening questions to info@azplantlady.com. Amaryllis, holiday color that lasts for years. Few plants capture the holiday spirit as beautifully as amaryllis. Their large trumpet-shaped blooms appear in brilliant shades of red, pink, and white, bringing instant cheer indoors during the cooler months. Many people enjoy them as seasonal gifts or decor, but what's often overlooked is that after they have finished blooming indoors, these bulbs can thrive outside in the desert garden for years, rewarding you with flowers long after the holidays have passed. Gently remove any decorative wax from bulbs before planting them in the garden. Once given soil and water, most bulbs will begin to grow roots. Plant amaryllis in a container or flower bed enriched with organic matter in a spot that receives morning sun and afternoon shade. Our intense summer sun can scorch the leaves, so filtered light later in the day is essential. Position bulbs so the top is level with the soil surface, sprinkle a small amount of phosphorus fertilizer to encourage blooming, and mulch around the base with about 3 inches of organic material to keep roots cool and retain moisture. Water regularly, keeping soil moist but never soggy, similar to how you would care for annual flowers. After the flower stalk fades, cut it down to the base, but allow the strappy green leaves to remain. They absorb the sun's rays, storing energy in the bulb for the next flowering season. During the first year outdoors, the bulb often produces foliage only, but in subsequent years, expect blooms in April or May. Amaryllis adapts well to flower gardens, annual containers, and even vegetable beds. Each spring, top dress with compost to replenish nutrients and maintain healthy soil. Bulbs will bloom for many years, adding unique beauty to your landscape with a lovely reminder of the winter holiday season. Winter color that attracts hummingbirds. Many desert landscapes shine with vibrant color in spring and summer, but often look lackluster in the cooler months. By choosing the right plants, you can extend the season of beauty while also supporting one of our favorite year-round residents, the Anna's hummingbird. Winter bloomers provide a vital nectar source when few other plants are flowering. They also brighten up the garden with blossoms that last well into spring. Some of the best choices include Australian natives such as Bluebell's Emu, Winter Blaze Emu, and Valentine Bush, each offering colors and easy care. For a native touch, try Tuberosa, with its tubular red flowers perfectly suited to hummingbird beaks, or Firecracker Penstemon, which sends up spikes of scarlet blooms. All of these plants thrive in full sun, need little maintenance once established, and reward you with weeks, sometimes months, of winter and spring blooms. By incorporating them into your landscape, you'll enjoy a garden that glows with seasonal color while also providing hummingbirds with the nectar they depend on. In turn, you'll find joy in watching the antics of these tiny visitors in your landscape. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book, Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called An Angel in Shirt Sleeves. It was written by Carol Sturgalewski. And there's a quote here from Tom Brokaw. It's easy to make a buck. It's a lot tougher to make a difference. An angel in shirt sleeves. Mickey Weiss was technically retired from the family produce business. Even so, he still enjoyed dropping in now and then to check up on things. Early one morning in 1987, he headed over to pay a visit. On the way, Mickey couldn't help slowing the car as he passed a small encampment of homeless people. They were just beginning to stir in the cool Los Angeles dawn. He sighed with helplessness at the sight of such poverty. Minutes later, he pulled up the family's vegetable company, one of many located at the Los Angeles Wholesale Produce Market. And there, waiting for the garbage truck, were 200 pallets of slightly damaged strawberries. Mickey exploded. Why are we throwing away berries when 8 blocks away, people are frying stale bread over open fires for their first meal of the day? He demanded. Well, that was the beginning of a crusade. In the years that followed, Mickey Weiss helped feed hundreds of thousands of hungry people in California by salvaging edible food destined for dumpsters. He once calculated that in just 2 years, he gave away more than $8 million worth of food. Every morning in Los Angeles, big semi-trailers deliver produce to the wholesaler's market. And every morning, food is deemed unfit to sell. Maybe a few tomatoes in a crate are molding, although the rest are fine. Maybe the peaches are blemished, though still sweet and firm. Maybe cartons are improperly labeled or paperwork is incomplete. Until Mickey came along, nearly all that was thrown away. Mickey was in his early 70s, but he knew the produce industry inside out. He dropped out of college to help his father with a struggling produce business after his brother-in-law gambled away the profits. Together, father and son built up the one-truck business until they served the city's finest restaurants. Then came World War II. The man who knew his fruits and vegetables spent the war in Palm Springs, working in the officers' mess and scouring the L.A. produce markets for the bananas the troops loved. After the war, Mickey went back to the family produce business and was soon known as the Mushroom King. After more than 40 years, he handed over the business to his son. Then, Mickey was supposed to retire. Until he saw those strawberries. Mickey started working the phones. Using his contacts in the industry, he got other wholesalers to donate space at the produce market. He rounded up high school students to call Los Angeles charities to see who could use produce to feed the poor. He worked with the county agriculture department and other government agencies to cut through red tape that had kept unsaleable food from being given away. Today, the center is the collection point each weekday morning for unsold fruit and vegetables from market merchants. Then, the donated produce is picked up by charities for distribution to soup kitchens, shelters, and agencies that help the needy. Everything from apples to zucchini, along with more exotic fare such as fresh ginger, tomatillos, and eggplant, goes into soup pots and salad bowls for homeless people, poor children, shelter residents, and many more. Thank God, thank Mickey, they say. So much for retirement. Until his death in 1996, Mickey was on the job at the distribution center 3 or 4 days a week. He was capturing donations of more than 1 million pounds of produce a month and passing them directly to charities. His work didn't go unnoticed. In 1989, President George Bush gave Mickey an End Hunger Award. Mickey's dream was to see similar food centers operating in every large produce terminal in America. "I'll be glad to go and help them," he said. And he did. Los Angeles was first, Houston followed, other cities fell in line. In 1991, Peter Clark and Susan Evans were so inspired by Mickey's work that they established From the Wholesaler to the Hungry, a program to teach other cities to set up produce demonstration programs. There are now more than 75 such operations around the United States. Mickey once told an interviewer that the greatest lesson he learned from his charity was that people give to people, not causes. She, in turn, described him as a silver-haired angel in shirt sleeves. Mickey Weiss's cause lives on after his death, and to the people who benefit from his legacy of giving, he is, now, and always has been, a real angel. That's called An Angel in Shirt Sleeves, written by Carol Sturgalewski, one of the many stories that make up Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. And that's a Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Be safe and healthy, and we'll be talking with you soon.